Welcome to Verse and Voice, the Daily Breadcast.
It's great to be digging into Scripture together.
Verse and Voice is a daily Bible study podcast that brings Scripture to life one chapter at a time.
In each short, reflective episode, we explore the historical context, modern-day relevance, and Christ-centered truth behind the verses.
And today, well, we're taking a deep dive into Genesis chapter 1.
The beginning.
Exactly. This chapter, it really lays the foundation for everything else in the Bible, doesn't it?
Absolutely. You can't overstate its importance. It's the bedrock. And our focus today is really just on this first chapter.
Right. We want to look at, you know, the sequence of creation, the structure.
Mm-hmm. And some of those key details, the recurring phrases and ideas that pop up right from the start.
So our mission for you listening is, hopefully, to walk away with a clearer, maybe richer understanding of this creation account. You know,
yeah.
Its order, its themes.
And maybe spot some connections you hadn't noticed before.
Okay, let's jump in. Verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Simple, but wow.
It really is.
Yeah.
What strikes me immediately is God is just there as the initiator. No preamble, no origin story for God.
He's the starting point.
Exactly. The active agent, bringing everything, the heavens and the earth, into existence. It's a statement of immense power right off the bat.
Then verse 2 gives us this picture. And now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. That sounds, well, chaotic.
It does. Formless and empty, that Hebrew phrase. Dohu wa bohu.
Yeah.
It suggests, yeah, chaos. Maybe a watery void. Unorganized potential, perhaps.
But not just emptiness, because the Spirit is there.
Right. Hovering. Not just watching, but actively present, poised almost, like energy ready to be unleashed, preparing for the order that's coming.
It's a great image, which brings us to day one. And God said, let there be light. And there was light, just like that.
The power of the word. God speaks and reality conforms.
And this pattern, God said, repeats throughout the chapter.
It does. It underscores the authority and the deliberate nature of creation. And then what happens? He sees the light is good.
Good. And He separates it from the darkness.
Separation and naming. Light becomes day, darkness becomes night. It's about establishing order, creating distinctions.
Defining reality. And then we get that refrain. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day.
Yeah, that evening-morning structure marks the passage of each creative period. Gives it a rhythm, a defined boundary for each day's work.
Okay, day two. And God said, let there be a vault between the waters to separate water from water. A vault.
The vault or expanse, later called sky. This, well, it reflects an ancient understanding of cosmology, like a dome holding back upper waters.
So maybe not how we describe it scientifically today, but the point is.
The point is separation again. God is creating a defined space, the sky, separating the waters above from those below. It's essential for a habitable world.
And he names it sky.
More naming, more order. And there was evening, and there was morning, the second day.
On to day three. And God said, let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let dry ground appear.
So now we get land and seas, another fundamental separation.
And he names them land and seas, and then we hear.
And God saw that it was good. Yes. The first time that specific phrase appears, it seems to mark his satisfaction with this stage of bringing order.
But day three isn't over yet, is it?
Nope. Then God says, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees, according to their various kinds.
Ah, according to their kinds. We see that phrase pop up again and again. Why is that so emphasized?
It seems to highlight the inherent order and diversity God built into life. Things reproduce true to their nature. It establishes stability in the biological world he's creating. Not just a jumble, but distinct kinds.
Makes sense. And he saw that this too was good.
Yes. Another affirmation. Which brings day three to a close. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day.
Day four. Now the lights in the sky. Let there be lights to separate the day from the night, as signs to mark sacred times and days and years.
So their purpose is clear. Not just light, but also for signs, seasons, timekeeping. Order again.
It mentions the two great lights, sun and moon, basically, and the stars.
Correct. The greater light for the day, the lesser for the night, plus the stars. All set in the vault, the sky.
And the verdict.
And God saw that it was good, consistent pattern. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day.
Day five feels like a real explosion of life. Let the water teem with living creatures and let birds fly.
Yes. Aquatic life and birds fill the waters in the sky. Huge diversity here.
And again.
According to their kinds. That principle holds. great sea creatures, every swimming thing, every winged bird, all created according to their distinct kinds.
And it was good.
It was good. But then something new happens.
Oh.
God bless them. This is the first blessing recorded.
Right. Be fruitful and increase in number and fill the water. Let the birds increase.
Exactly. It's not just creation. It's commissioning life to flourish, to multiply, to fill the earth.
Mm.
It adds this dynamic element.
That's a great point. Okay. And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. Now for the big one, day six.
Day six starts with land animals. Let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds. Livestock, creatures that move along the ground, wild animals.
All categorized, all according to its kind.
Mm. Again, God saw that it was good. But then the narrative shifts, doesn't it? The tone changes.
It really does. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. That us and our, that's different.
Very different. Scholars debate the exact meaning, maybe the royal we, maybe the Trinity hinted at, maybe the heavenly court. But the key thing is the uniqueness of this creation, humanity in God's image.
Reflecting God in some way. And it says, so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them.
Both male and female created in his image, right from the start. Completeness, relationality built in.
And like the animals on day five, they get a blessing.
Yes, a blessing and a mandate. Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over everything else.
Rule, subdue. What does that mean here?
It implies stewardship, responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Not domination in a negative sense, but caring for and managing creation as God's representatives. God also provides food plans for humans, plans for animals.
And after all this, the creation of humanity, what's the final verdict on everything?
Not just good, but God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. There's an intensification there.
The absolute peak of creation.
Seems that way. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day.
And I know we're focusing on chapter one, but it's worth connecting briefly to Genesis 2.7 here, isn't it? That detail about how man was formed.
Yes, absolutely. Genesis 2 gives a slightly different, more intimate angle. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being.
Formed from dust, but given life directly by God's breath. It highlights that special connection.
Exactly. It complements the picture in chapter one.
So the 6 days of work are done, which brings us to the seventh day, described in Genesis 2.13.
Right. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. Completion. Finished.
By the seventh day, God had finished the work. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. God rested.
Yeah, it doesn't mean he was tired like we get tired. It's more about ceasing creative work, perhaps enjoying the completion, setting a pattern.
Because he then blesses that day.
He does. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested. This establishes the Sabbath, a day set apart, blessed, holy, rooted in God's own completion of creation.
So wrapping up Genesis 1 and that completion,
yeah.
What are the big takeaways?
Well, the clear, orderly progression. God bringing structure out of chaos, the power of his word, God said, the inherent goodness of creation culminating in a very good.
The repetition of according to their kinds.
Definitely. And of course, the unique creation of humankind in God's image, given a blessing and a role of stewardship. And finally, the establishment of the Sabbath rest.
It really sets the stage for, anything that follows.
It truly does. It's the foundation.
So for everyone listening, maybe just take a moment to think about this. Consider the implications of living in a world that the Bible describes as intentionally created, ordered, and declared very good by God.
Mm-hmm.
And think about humanity's place within that, created in God's image, given a responsibility. How does understanding Genesis 1, this beginning, shape how you see the world and maybe how you see your own life within it?
Powerful questions to reflect on.
Indeed. Something to carry with you.